Welcome to Biz Talk, where we talk to entrepreneurs, business owners, and brands who are using TikTok for business. And together, we bring you the top tips, insights, and secrets to skyrocket your TikTok account. So buckle up and get ready to become the next Biz Talker. Here's your host, Kyle Kaplanis.
Hey everyone, welcome to Biz Talk. It is your host, Kyle Kaplanis. I have a really awesome guest. His name is Brendan Gann. He's a partner and chief social officer at independent creative agency Mechanism, who is leading the agency's social division. Brendan, welcome to Biz Talk.
Thanks for having me. Pumped to be here.
Not only are you the chief social officer over there at Mechanism, but you're crushing it over on TikTok now.
I'm trying. I feel like trying to keep up with the kids, you know, so doing
yeah,
my
but
best.
You're doing a really good job. I mean, your engagement and everything is just killer over there. And you're one of my favorite accounts for sure, bringing in tons of awesome content for people to learn from. What's your story there? How'd you get started on TikTok?
It's interesting. It wasn't necessarily like one thing. We did some really early TikTok campaigns, like some TikTok branded hashtag challenges with influencers. So I saw firsthand sort of the scale and the level of engagement, and it was mind blowing. On top of that, my fiance, who has a YouTube channel, started dabbling in it, and she was like racking up hundreds of thousands of views, you know, right, with just her first few TikToks, and then getting thousands of followers. And so I was kind of kicking those two things around in my head for a long time. I feel like working in this space, you have so many ideas and so many thoughts that never really see the light of day. And I felt like I needed like a creative outlet. And I'm generally a little bit camera shy, but I was like, I just got to get over it. And so kind of just dove in head first, but it's been fun.
I love that you kind of mentioned that, you know, you were a little camera shy, because I think traditionally we think of TikTok of being these young teens and kids and stuff. And so when other people, like older demographics, are coming there, maybe they have no experience of social media. They're like, it's really daunting to them about, oh, I have to get in front of the camera. But the cool thing is, as you know, as social media has evolved and changed, TikTok is so authentic. So I feel like this is the greatest platform to try for the first time. There's less judgment there. You get to just show up and be yourself and just have fun with it. Where Instagram in the past, people were a little bit scared, like, oh, I have to live this perfect life kind of look. Or with YouTube, it's like, oh, I have to have high quality, high studio, you know, to get seen. But on TikTok, you get to just show up and be you.
I completely agree. There's not this sense of, like you said, Instagram, like, you know, FOMO and I've got to look amazing and all these things. It's much more about like the substance, like what do you want to say or what do you want to show, and less about look at how dope I look.
TikTok's been changing the wave of so many things, even in the industry. I mean, your background is with social media. Did it catch your attention pretty fast?
Yeah. Actually, TikTok was on my radar. I knew about Musical.ly. I think we pitched it one or two times. We didn't do any brand activations. But after the acquisition, we instantly started having meetings with them. Like when there was literally two employees, I think in the US, like I'm pretty sure the New York office was first. In which
That's
case,
crazy.
Like, you know, we had the two ByteDance employees in the US in our office. And I thought it was dope. You know, I was like, this seems like it's got potential. You know, I knew a little bit about ByteDance's success in China. You know, in general, I kind of like whenever I read about something that's a little bit different, I'll usually try and like reach out. So like I had talked to the guys at Triller. We did actually an activation at Triller, like all those sort of like new emerging things I'm usually pretty curious about.
You know, we talked a little bit prior to this episode, but my background isn't even in social media. But it really caught my attention with, you know, my daughter and her success, that she was able to just be a normal teen and just blow up on the app, which is just crazy and mind-boggling. So I just dove in with her and just learning everything about it and realizing that even though it's 2 years old now, it's still ground floor. It's just getting crazy where recently we did a piece on it as well, about Walmart and the e-commerce live feature that they just did, which was insane. That is just something so cool and fresh that's coming, and it's going to change the game. I mean, what are your thoughts on that?
I completely agree. I think the Walmart live stream event, it's like a big stamp of approval for that sort of form of e-commerce or social commerce, whatever you want to call it. I've been really fascinated about that space for a while. And like in China, for example, it's like 136 billion in sales via live streams right now. And like some of these big live streamers are getting like 40 million viewers at a time. And it's like, That's so mad awesome. Yeah. It's like, there's so much excitement right now. And I feel like for a couple of years, a lot of social was sort of stagnant. And I really love that like TikTok's coming in and like shaking things up.
Definitely. It's put the piece of humanizing things together, because before there's always e-commerce and it's talking about the product and the storefront and not really the people, but like the product. But you can connect to a product in a way because it makes you feel something as a human. But by bringing the human element to it, to bring both, is just what's key. And that's what I think influencer marketing is so huge, is because it brings that trust of a person to that product. And that's why we're seeing such big success, and brands are starting to realize, oh, we got to figure things out here. So that's why influencer marketing is just like skyrocketing.
100%. Yeah. It's funny. A friend of mine and I, we were talking about this, and we every few months we'll catch up and sort of debate what's going on in the space. And she was like, she got this line, I guess, from a podcast that Hank Green was on, but it's advertising is a wet noodle. It's not the best way to like funnel people to like your product. Whereas like influencers, they build a community, and then that community will follow them anywhere.
Literally, my daughter gets to see like that behind the scenes kind of look on what she gets to promote and just kind of see what actually happens, which is really cool. But it's so true. Anything she has, even in her videos, people are asking questions, and then people bluff comments like, hey, I bought this because of you, and I love it because of you, and have even changed brand products. Like she did this meet and greet before COVID. Literally 2,000 people showed up, and it was just one, her and some creators put together. There was just a couple local creators they put together. They thought maybe 50 people would show up. They promoted it on TikTok with one video, said, hey, we're going to the local mall. We're going to be there from this time to this time. I went too because I just wanted to see for myself, like, what was the turnout? And yeah, she's like, oh, we're probably going to get 50 people. And I was like, oh, okay, well, that's still pretty cool. The amount of people, the queue was just like wrapped around the freaking mall. We didn't even let the mall know because we thought it was just going to be a small, like little yeah, hangout. The security came. They ended up having to kind of kick them out in a way because it was just so disruptive.
Yeah.
But I told the guys, I'm like, I'm so sorry. We had no idea it's going to be like this. But what I was going back to with the brands is Jade is known for her Vans. She wears Vans every video. Like that's her only shoe basically she wears, right? And her fans know this. So there were several, I mean, I'm talking maybe even 50 plus of people with Vans bags that they just purchased Vans prior to meeting her. They didn't want to not have Vans on without meeting her, which
was dope.
Yeah. And I wish I filmed like all the conversations like the whole time. I wish I almost had a camera set up to hear the conversations of capturing that, but it was just crazy to hear that and realizing that these kids literally just spent like $80 just to buy a pair of shoes just to meet her, which is
yeah, it's
crazy.
Incredible. I mean, it makes sense. Like, it's like these people are like in your living room, that you're in their living room, like day in, day out, and you know more about them. I mean, oftentimes than your, you know, IRL friends.
Wow. Yeah, and you might connect with them more than them too.
Yeah. And one thing like I kind of like get a little bit riled up about is like, yeah, TikTok is new and TikTok influencers are new, but like I work in influencer marketing on the ad agency side and the social side, but for years, it's like pulling teeth to get brands to sort of buy into it. And like, it's not new. Like I remember like 10 years ago, we did something similar with Crocs. We hosted the meet and greet. Kids just like, I think we tweeted out like a couple hours in advance, and like hundreds of kids like mobbed the store, and like we were not prepared for it. And like, it's like, I don't know. Like, I wish brands really kind of embraced it more than they do.
It still blows my mind that there's so much convincing to be done there when it's like, are you kidding? I mean, we've been kind of doing influencer marketing our whole life, like maybe not call it influencer, but the whole referral program by word of mouth, right? That's the exact what it is if a friend's like, hey, I saw this movie, you should go see it. You're almost going to listen to it more than the trailer, because you see the trailer, you're like, oh, it looks pretty good. But your friend can say that was rubbish. You know, that was a horrible movie, and you're not going to go see it now. Even the trailer looks dope, right? So it's the same thing, because you trust that person. Why aren't you understanding that? And the reason why, as well, is there's so much change with traditional like celebrities and with influencers. People are relating more to an influencer because they're showing them who they are. They're not just this fictional character played on TV. Before, we were really excited about actor or actress, you know, like, because we connected with their character, but we really didn't know much about who they were. Whereas influencers are, we're learning about them. Like, they're in their home. We hear their struggles. They share everything, like the drama, the sadness. And you just relate to them as a human. So when you really want to meet that person, because you're really meeting them versus just like the actor who plays that cool character you loved.
100%. Yeah. I mean, it makes sense. It, like, also, like, there's like all these other layers, like influencers break down the fourth wall. So they're like looking at you through the cameras.
Yeah.
Every like aspect of it feels much more real. And so it's much easier than like a movie where like it's jump cuts, it's all staged, and then you're jumping from scene to scene. But like influencers are just sitting there talking to the camera. And so it feels like you're hanging out.
And I mean, the live features as well is just changing it as well. That, you know, all the influencers are going on and being live is a huge difference as well, is because they're giving back to their communities. They're having chats with them. They're answering their questions. I actually made a post today about Rosie O'Donnell, who's on TikTok now. And I think she's doing such a freaking awesome job she's duetting her fans and followers. And that, to me, is how traditional celebrities who are dominating on the platform are doing that. Like, even The Rock recently just did a video where showing how he gave back to a fan. I saw that one.
Yeah, yeah. That was really good. I was like, I feel like I remember that. Yeah, yeah, that was dope. That was,
yeah, really, see, and that's like what people want to see. Before, they might have thought that they wanted to see these high studio quality videos of them doing things, and that people are like, no, that's lame. Like, we can see that in the movies or TV. I want to see who you are. And giving back to their fans is just huge. And that's going to, you know, just drive so much more respect and people to come to them and want to learn more about who that person is. And even using the app in the traditional way of like using their actual phone and sharing just fun videos, that's the key element too. Some of these creators, like Will Smith, I love Will Smith, but some of his videos are just so high, like, production that I'm just like, that's not relatable to the app, man. So,
and it's interesting, I think, with celebrities and the creators. With The Rock, for example, it's like you found out about The Rock because of wrestling or his movies, but then like that's just the entry point. He's done a great job sharing his personality, and that's why you stick around. And I think with influencers, it's kind of the same thing. Like, you might like a creator because they're a dancer, but then you become a fan because they share their personality, and that creates that like stickiness that is so unique to anyone that builds an audience online.
Like I said, it's all about being human and relatable. And that's where, 100%. Yeah, you'll remember somebody forever because they made an impact to you personally. And that's when you'll be a huge fan. I mean, there's some creators on the app that I just love so much because of their personality, and I've gotten to know them, and I'm just like a lifelong fan. I've even built some of them to become friends now, which is really cool. Gen Z especially, these influencers are their celebrities, which is really cool, is that they are real people and you get to know that. So you actually have an opportunity to maybe reach out and get a reply and maybe even be able to build a friendship. I know Jade, one of her best friends, was a fan on the app. He was just consistent with his comments, and I got her to notice. And then he was like, hey, we should play games sometime, because she does a lot of gaming. And they played and they got on, and now they're like really good friends. So it's just really cool that you even have a chance to maybe even be able to connect with them and have a conversation, which is so cool. And it's easier than people think as well.
Yeah, it's awesome. I mean, the accessibility is unparalleled. Like, yeah, and you're not gonna like hang out with a celebrity, but like, you know, you could do a live stream with your favorite influencer,
right? Tons of them are doing like Zoom, like let's hang out on Zoom. I think that's cool because their content is driven by their followers. What do they want to see? You know, they're like, we vote to see this, or we love this content. So they continue to make content for them. That's just their whole driving force, which is so cool. And I mean, like going back to how brands we have to convince them. It's just crazy. But then you did a live and I jumped in on your live, but we were talking about Mr. Beast. He's a freaking prime example of how influencer marketing works. I mean, with his burger, I just recently watched his YouTube video. It was insane. Like the cars were just like 1,000 car length.
Like 20 miles or something. Yeah. Right? It's like insane.
Yeah. Have you? I mean, I've never seen something like that for a movie premiere. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like for somebody just to have a burger, that just shows how wild it really is and how much people wanted to connect and be able to be a part of that.
Like influencers, it's like the scalable friendships. And then what's interesting is like when someone like Mr. Beast does that, where they're launching, you know, Mr. Beast burgers, it's interesting because he's not only like selling a product, but he's also sort of pouring gasoline on his fandom. His fans are like, yeah, I want a piece of Mr. Beast, you know, like, and this is, and it's like, they're happy to do it versus like, this is just a burger. It's like the two sort of build off each other. It creates like a, you get like a 2-for-1 sort of scenario where it's like, you're getting paid, get your audience to like evangelize for you, which is wild.
It's pure genius. I mean, even merch, right? Brands like, let's say you're wearing a Nike shirt, but somebody's like, nah, I'd rather buy my favorite creator's merch and wear that hoodie because I'm going to support that person. So it's just crazy that that just shows how brands really do need to kind of have that human connection, or these other creators that do will like take all your customers. They'll take all your consumers.
Yeah, 100%. And I think what's interesting is like how brands haven't sort of recognized like their own best practices and applied them to influencer marketing. Like you think about Nike, like it was like Nike and Jordan, like it was this very deep partnership. And now so many brands, they want to just do sort of like, oh yeah, we'll pay you to do one post. Nike would never pay Jordan to wear shoes in one game. Like that wouldn't do it. You know, you know, people would notice for a day or two, maybe get a quick bump in sales. But like, what if they left themselves open so that like, you know, next week he's wearing Adidas, next week he's wearing.
Right. Exactly.
It doesn't make sense. And I don't know. So I don't understand why they don't apply the same principles to today. I mean, granted, some brands are getting better about it. And that's my rant.
No, that's a really good point. And when you see Jordan, do you think of Nike, like both simultaneously, which is huge in that whole product. And that brand is still huge because of him. Kids even today are like, I want to be just like mine. And I think that that's so true. All these companies, yeah, are doing like a one-off thing for their product. But then, you know, after a month, they just get to something else. And the consumers are like, oh, now what's this influencer doing now? I'm going to go back. I'm going to try that now because they like that. And they're not connected with that original one. So it's true. Like a brand ambassadorships is what they really should look for. And somebody who's a huge fan of that product, like let's say somebody loves Doritos, that's their favorite chip ever. They should be like a Doritos brand ambassador, be on the chips and they just like support them throughout the year. And they're trying out different flavors and that's, yeah, that's key. So then when people think of that creator, they think of that brand.
Yeah,
so,
yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. I don't understand why it's not happening more. I think it's changing though. I think
totally.
It's changing.
I do too. I think 2021 is going to be a whole new game. COVID almost helped people rethink their mindset because it's gone so much more digital now that we're all stuck at home and it's not all this stuff. So people had to realize, wow, the digital game is huge. And where are people watching? They're watching these influencers. That's where the people are. How do we get involved? So I really do think there's going to be some massive changes and we're going to just keep continually reading these awesome stories of influencer marketing, making these, I mean, with the Walmart and e-commerce, I mean, Michael Lee hosted that. And then they did a smart job with that too, by bringing these creators and making them the face versus just some people you have no idea. Walmart could have used their own people or people who they thought were cool.
And they made it native to the platform. Like you could almost picture them like going off and hiring celebrities, and they probably would have done that 2 years ago. But it's awesome that they recognized, all right, this is the ecosystem we're in. We're going to invest in it.
Let's go back to TikTok and your thoughts on strategies of what do you think has been working for you?
That's a good question. I kind of went into it with my eyes wide open. I was like, this is something new to me. It's going to suck for a while. And like, that's okay. That's part of the process. And so totally. from the mental aspect, sort of like recognizing that to build an audience. It's not like a straightforward process. Like, you're not going to come out of the gates and you're going to be fully formed. It's an evolution. So it kind of gave me permission to like not like overthink things too much and just like make small changes. Oh, okay, this doesn't work. That doesn't work. I'll improve here. I'll improve there. I think that is probably the single biggest factor. But then there are like little things like I sort of, in terms of structuring my TikToks, I learned that like opening with like, you know, something that's provocative, that'll catch people's attention, a question, using hyperbolic language and leveraging borrowed interest. Like, what is something people are interested in to sort of use as an entry point to then tell your story? Like my first TikToks, like, you know, like I'll talk about like social media strategy or marketing psychology. My first TikToks were me just like explaining them versus like now I'll try and find something that's like an example of it that everybody knows. And I'll open with that. And like, it's so obvious when you sort of say it, but it's like, you have to kind of work your way to that. From a production standpoint, sort of the other unlocks were I started filming in another room that isn't so echoey and mm-hmm. started using the ring light and getting lights in the background. And just like, it's not like beautiful production. It's basics. It makes a world of difference. It's not dark and shadowy. It's not echoey. Yeah. It makes it easier.
For sure. I was actually going to say, because, you know, you don't need any studio for sure. You don't need to be high production, but lighting and sound are really key elements. Like if it sounds good and the lighting is bright and you can visually see somebody, that will catch somebody's attention. There's so many people who they ask me like, hey, will you go through my account and just give me some feedback? And one of the top things I always see is like, man, your lighting is really dark. Like, is really dingy, and that makes me, I don't even want to watch this just to give you feedback, because it's just like, skip.
Like a ring light is what, $50 or something? It's like, or just shoot by a window in the daytime.
Yeah.
It doesn't need to be anything too complex.
Yeah, exactly. I agree. Ring light is a really good investment. Just anything that can create light is, it is true. And so many people, I think, miss that. They're like trying to figure out these other strategies, and maybe their story's great. But yeah, true. It could be just your lighting. And then once you change that, that might change your whole game.
100%. Initially, when I figured that aspect out, I went back and like redid a bunch of my earlier TikToks mm-hmm. and like they did so much better. And I'll do that from time to time. I'll just like revisit something and be like, oh, I could have like made this a little bit nicer. And you know, it's wild how these little things really add up.
Yeah. And that's what I love about TikTok too. You can just recreate some of your videos. You can, or even if it was really good, a month later you could even reshare it. I mean, it's just dope that people are not too focused on that. They love to hear the information, and that you're allowed to just go revisit that. You know, in the past you might have been like, oh, I already did a series on this whole thing, I can't revisit it. And but it's like, no, you mm-hmm. can. And yeah, like a little few tweaks as you learn. My TikTok channel, Biz Talker, is I wanted to start this one from the fresh perspective, so I could give feedback and honest feedback of like my growth. And I'm going to share my insights with people and just showing the reality of what it's like to build. And when maybe one day I'll have a video pop off or I'll grow, and just showing that reality. But I'm still learning too, because this is a whole new perspective of the way I'm putting up videos, and I'm still learning too, but I love that. And I think a lot of people are scared because they're like, don't know their exact focus. But the cool thing is with TikTok, I don't think really anybody did when they first started. They have no idea. And so use this as a time to learn. And the cool thing is you're going to get people give you feedback like, oh, I love this. And you're like, oh, okay, maybe I'll do some more on that.
I have a very general idea of what I wanted to talk about. And I mean, I still talk about like a number of different topics, but they're all sort of like grounded in like influencer marketing, social media, advertising. You just can't expect that like the thing you put out your very first TikTok or really for any platform is going to be this fully formed kind of piece of content. You don't know how an audience is going to react. And so you might want to talk about something, but you need to refine what that looks like so it resonates with the community. I think the borrowed interest thing is really important for me, for example. Like I you know, I talk about advertising and social media strategy and influencer marketing. There's a lot of different ways I could do it. I could just come out of the gates and start explaining some of these things. But if instead I say like, how did David Dobrik do blank? Okay, like 90% of the people on TikTok are going to know who David Dobrik is. So immediately they're interested. You pose a question, it builds intrigue, and then you sort of deliver on that value and that you know, answer that question. And you can do it in a way that gets to the point you wanted to get across. You're incorporating that storytelling element, which really just makes a world of difference because, you know, people are scrolling through Facebook and Instagram. It's like 500 feet of content a day. On TikTok, I would imagine it's more than that. Mm-hmm. So you need to give people a reason to pause, you know, create something thumb stopping. So what do they care about? Start there. It's a good entry point.
That's a really good point for sure. I think some people are even afraid to do things like that because they think, oh, am I copying something from somebody else? And I think that's the whole key is, you know, for anybody who's really grown, they've done something just like that. They've taken little pieces in here and made it their mm-hmm. own. And regardless of if it's very similar to something somebody else, it's not you that's saying it. You know, you have a different voice than somebody else and somebody's going to resonate with you more. So it's really key. What videos are found on your For You page?
It's all cute puppies and stuff and farm animals at this point. Like there's like beavers and otters and like pet raccoons and like all that stuff. It, like I just sit there and like crack up half the time.
I hear you. Because I have two TikTok channels, my other channel is literally all animals. I can sit there for hours just because it makes me happy. Like you feel good. You laugh, you smile. They're just so sweet. And then on my other one, the funny thing is I've been trying to not like so many animals because I'm trying to consume from other people and learn. It's starting to slowly creep in because I've accidentally liked a few of them. I'm like, crap, I don't want it to like change my For You page.
Yeah, I should probably do a similar strategy because like, yeah, I mean, it's funny. I was flicking through it this morning. I was like, oh, here's this cute raccoon that's a pet. And it's just like, that's all it is. Seems like there's so many people have like these weird like pet marsupials and like beavers. It's like, where the hell do you get these things?
I know. And lastly, I love to ask is, who are your favorite creators on the app?
Oh, that's a good question. I would say on the marketing side, which is probably the only other thing I really pay much attention to other than the pets is, I really like Ginger Marketer.
Yeah.
He's super cool. And like he and I have kind of become buddies. And then Gerardo Perez, he's another good one. Yours, I think, is great, by the way. I like yours. I think yours is like, I don't know, you're like straightforward and you're like positive and upbeat. And I dig it. Oh, you know what? I'll shout out one other guy, Rob Cancilla, C-A-N-C-I-L-L-A. He and I became buddies, but he does more like sort of advice on career searches and how to optimize your LinkedIn and stuff. But like, I don't know, this is a cool dude.
Oh, that's super cool. That's super cool. You know, you mentioned LinkedIn. I'm on LinkedIn trying to tell people they could bring their business to TikTok. And so many of them are just like, yeah, okay, whatever, dude.
Yeah. Ginger Marketer, actually, he built up a TikTok. He's got like 150,000 and he managed to quit his job. And he's just doing like coaching. He's got like a small community you can kind of pay to get access to. That's incredible. At 150,000 followers, he's able to quit his full-time job.
Right.
Just do TikTok. That's amazing. Yeah.
I know people with less that have just quit their jobs because of TikTok. In fact, I had a lady on my show, Erica Cruz, who she was at like just 90,000 and was just quitting her job. And from one TikTok post, believe it or not, she said something about a group coaching class that she was going to offer. And she had like 367 people sign up that day.
Wow.
And was enough to basically pay her income for the year. And then was like, okay, well, I need to just focus on this. And now she's just killing it and crushing it. So it's just mad. The people that are not listening, it's fine because you can't please everyone and they're going to come to it when they're ready. But I'm just trying to educate that this is still on the ground floor. The opportunities are crazy. It's going to eventually get saturated and the algorithm will crunch down just like every other platform and it will be really difficult. So now it's like that open opportunity window.
Probably like analogous to like YouTube 2010, 2011. It's still like early enough that you can like build an audience and,
yeah.
and break out. It's not brand new, but no. It's early enough. And you're not going to like enough, kill yeah. yourself to
exactly. pull it off. I wish I would have kind of went back and started an account like I am now when my daughter was blown up 2 years ago. I would have been dope. Because the views were just insane. Anything she did, like millions of views, just anything. And I was like, are you kidding? I wish I would have had that mindset, but I wasn't. I was just focused on her. I wish I had that mindset, like, oh, I should get in here and start teaching and educating, but it's okay. It's still early days. And I just want people that, like, if I had somebody that would coach me back then, like, hey, you should do this now. I kind of want to be that guy that's like, hey, look, it's still early enough. Let's go.
I would definitely encourage anyone who's listening to give it a whirl, and probably like to not just go and post once, but plan on like, I'm going to post like whatever, one a day for 100 days straight. I think that's like the key to sort of like figuring it out. Accountability, doing it day by day and making small changes. And that takes time. So
Yeah, work, people follow you, talk to me, do your shameless plug. I think that's key.
Anybody on the brand side or whatever is interested, it's Mekanism with a K, M-E-K-A-N-I-S-M. Me personally, you can just find me, Brendan Gann, B-R-E-N-D-A-N, G-A-H-A-N. And I've got a blog with a newsletter. I would say that that'd probably be my recommendation, but really you type my name in and you'll find my LinkedIn, Twitter, TikTok, and I'm active on all of them.
His newsletter is killer as well. You definitely want to be signed up for that. The cool thing is that you guys don't even have to go search that on your own. Just go to the description link of this podcast and you'll have all the links right there for you. So it's really easy. Just go click it, click the link that you want to see, and you'll be able to go find Brendan and definitely subscribe to his newsletter. This is dope for sure. Yeah, you're welcome. Brendan, thank you so much for your time, man. I really appreciate you being on the show, and this was fun.
Thanks for having me. Yeah, this was a blast.
Love this episode of Biz Talk? Let us know with a review. Also, make sure to subscribe so you don't miss out on any future episodes. Follow us on TikTok at Biz Talker. Don't just be a TikToker, but become the next Biz Talker.